We're down to just 16 teams in the UEFA Champions League after two dramatic nights of football. On Tuesday, the 2008 champions bowed out after a great game in Germany.
Now it's there! They've re-established their lead again! Incredible! And straight away, Wolfsburg back in front. Manchester United again now are heading for elimination.
So Wolfsburg and PSV progressed from Group B, with Atletico and Manchester City clinching top spots in Group C and D respectively, while Cristiano Ronaldo set a new record of 11 group stage goals after scoring four in Real Madrid's 8-0 defeat of Malmo. And then on Wednesday, Olivier Giroud's brilliant hat-trick means that Arsenal make it through to the knockout stages of the competition for the 16th season in a row.
It's Olivier Giroud, it's 3-0 Arsenal. He sends the goalkeeper the wrong way, and Olivier Giroud has a hat-trick. It's a huge night for Arsenal.
Meanwhile, in West London, Chelsea put aside their domestic form as they were comfortable winners over Porto to qualify.
Williams found space. Williams in! That could be the goal for Chelsea that wins Group G.
Elsewhere on Wednesday, Roma, Ghent and Dinamo Kiev also qualified for the round of 16, which we'll be bringing you in the new year. We'll hear from the key players and head coaches, including Cristiano Ronaldo, Julian Draxler and John Terry, as we analyse all of Match Day 6's action right here on the UEFA Champions League podcast. Hello, I'm Rod Daly. So much to talk about after two great nights in the UEFA Champions League and so many goals too. Let's go through all of Match Day 6's results. Tuesday in Group A, Paris Saint-Germain 2, Shakhtar 0, Real Madrid 8, Malmo 0. Group B, Wolfsburg 3, Manchester United 2, PSV Eindhoven 2, CSKA Moscow 1. Group C, Benfica 1, Atletico 2. Galatasaray 1, Astana 1. And in Group D, Manchester City with a 4-2 win over Borussia Mönchengladbach, Sevilla 1, Juventus 0. On Wednesday in Group E, Leverkusen 1, Barcelona 1, Roma 0, Barté 0. Group F, Dinamo Zagreb 0, Bayern 2, Olympiakos 0, Arsenal 3. Group G, Dinamo Kiev 1, Maccabi Tel Aviv 0, Chelsea 2, Porto 0. And in Group H, Valencia 0, Lyon 2, Ghent 2, Zenit 1. So let's start our review of Tuesday's action in Group B. Wolfsburg faced Manchester United with the winners guaranteed to go through. Watching this was Phil Blacker.
The movement of Martial that could cause the problem here. He's in for Manchester United. Anthony Martial scores for Manchester United. They strike first in this must-win match. Rodriguez to deliver with the left foot. Oh, there's a touch on there and it's gone all the way through. Fabulous finish from Naldo, and Wolfsburg were not behind for long. Gets it back from Cruiser. He's in again. Oh, and it's squared to Viorino, and Wolfsburg lead. They have turned this one around inside the opening half an hour. Wonderful, slick football in the build-up, and it ends with a relatively straightforward finish. Michael Carrick making a nuisance of himself on the near post. They've gone longer towards Fellaini. Beyond the back post comes off the defender. Oh, for an own goal of Chilavogi. And Manchester United might just have saved themselves after all inside the final 10 minutes. Here comes the set piece delivered from the left foot, from the left-hand side. Naldo is there! They've re-established their lead again. Incredible! Naldo with another one from the corner kick. And straight away, Wolfsburg back in front. Astonishing.
Commentary there from Phil Blacker as Wolfsburg beat Manchester United by 3-2. Alongside me now, European football expert Paul Saffer. Paul, a great performance from the Bundesliga side. How did they go about beating Manchester United?
Well, by looking to attack them, by playing a very positive game. Manchester United proved a very good defensive team this season, and when they went 1-0 up for Anthony Martial, you thought maybe this is the just situation they wanted. They knew they may have had to win, depending on what happened in the other game in that group. But straight away, Wolfsburg hit back with Naldo, finishing off quite a nice free kick routine. Then Vieira, that second goal, you just heard now, that was an absolutely tremendous goal, tremendous move. Fantastic, carved their way through Manchester United's very well-organised team. And then it was 2-1, and then the focus was almost on Eindhoven, the other game which finished 2-1 to PSV, which we hear a little bit before, because when it was level, Manchester United knew a draw would be enough. When Suska briefly took the lead, Manchester United knew they could be going through anyway. Then PSV took the lead, Manchester United took the lead. It went back and forth, but now, though, again, with another great finish, he had a very cool game, played very, very well, Wolfsburg. Unusual scorers for Wolfsburg there, but they did the job, every player contributing, and they deserve top of that group.
And one of their key players was Julian Draxler. He says the hard work was done before the break.
I think it was really important for the team that we had the leading in the halftime. And I think for me personally, it was a good match, especially in first half. So, I really enjoy to play in Champions League because it's the dream of my childhood. And every game I try to enjoy as much as I can. And it's nice when you see it on the pitch.
Julian Draxler there and his side win the group as well. But how disappointing will it be for Manchester United when that draw was made, Paul? They probably would have fancied their chances to get through.
Well, if you're Manchester United, any draw really should fancy your chances of getting through, but particularly when you get the draw, because on this new system, the top seeds weren't the top eight teams in coefficients. It was the champions in the seven biggest leagues, and that included PSV, who probably wouldn't have been anyone's idea as a top seed. And then they got Wolfsburg and Sucre Moskva. The draw worked out pretty well for Manchester United, but losing away to PSV on match day one and then drawing 0-0 against PSV on Old Trafford, that was the real killer. It left them needing this result in Wolfsburg, and that's why they're transferring to UEFA Europa League. And whatever consolation Louis van Gaal is looking for, there's not much consolation for Manchester United finishing third in the UEFA Champions League group.
Elsewhere in that group, of course, PSV Eindhoven beat CSKA Moskva by 2-1 despite falling behind. PSV turned it around in the final 12 minutes with two goals of their own. Let's find out what qualification means to the club. Here's their defender, Jeffrey Bruma.
I think one word is huge. And obviously, PSV reaching the 16th finals, it's a big accomplishment. I think before the group started, nobody expected it, that we would go through. And we did it in a tough group, Manchester, Wolfsburg and CSKA. So here we're standing with the 3 points today and reaching the last 16.
Well, joining us on the show now is UEFA.com's John Bradley. John, you saw this game. PSV, how did they go about getting that victory? Because it looked nervy late on for them.
14 minutes to go, they conceded a penalty, and immediately they showed amazing strength of character, because while all that was going on, of course, Manchester United were getting back into the game over in Germany against Wolfsburg, and that news was filtering through from the stand. It was so important that they got that goal through Luke de Jong so quickly after. But then to hear Manchester United had scored again, and they had to then score again, and they went and did it. And Davy Proper's effort was a wonderful strike from the edge of the penalty area. And from then on in, it was a matter of how many they scored. And once they'd done that, of course, they were home and dry. And when they heard Naldo had scored as well, again in Wolfsburg, the celebrations around the stadium were amazing.
First Dutch team to qualify for this stage in 9 years. Thanks, John. We'll come back to you shortly. Wolfsburg group winners, 12 points. PSV second with 10. United into the UEFA Europa League with 8 points in third. CSKA bottom with 4 points. OK, in our second featured match on Tuesday, we had Benfica against Atletico, with both teams looking to top Group C. Watching this one was Richard Connolly.
Now, Koke did well there, and they've freed Vieto here, and he's laid it back. It's a beautiful goal! Saúl for Atletico! They strike first and take first place as things stand. Carrasco's played the 1-2, and he's going to get there this time. Carrasco can collect it. Now, who can he pick out in the centre? He looks for the low ball in! It's a second goal for Atletico Madrid! Here's Renato Sanchez now. It's a nice little pass into Jimenez. Oh, Jimenez has got it into Mitroglou, who scores! Chance, perhaps, for Benfica now!
But Benfica were not able to get the equaliser that would have seen them top the group. Atletico win that group in the end thanks to that victory. They haven't really been brilliant yet this season, Atletico, Paul, domestically and in Europe, but they're 2 points off Barca, I think, in Spain and through here. Really good job from Diego Simeone.
Well, he just gets them very well drilled. He gets them playing in a very energetic fashion, and even though they've often had to sell top players, they've had a turnover of players to a certain extent under him, he's kept producing good teams. And of course, by getting that away win yesterday, that's the third consecutive year they've topped their group in the UEFA Champions League, putting them in a very good position to reach another quarter final at least, and on a budget doesn't necessarily compare to the other group winners if we're looking through. That's a great achievement from Simeone and his team.
It is indeed. Elsa in that group. Galatasaray drew 1-1 with Astana. Tuimasi gave the visitors the lead before Selçuk Inan's equaliser. And it means that Galatasaray just finished above the team from Kazakhstan, who actually did pretty well in their debut season with four draws in that group. Paul, let's look at Group A now. Paris Saint-Germain were guaranteed to finish second regardless of what happened at the Parc des Princes against Shakhtar Donetsk. So I suppose their 2-0 victory is most notable for Anou's Zlatan Ibrahimovic record.
It did. Zlatan Ibrahimovic has broken most of Paris's goal-scoring record since he's been there. This goal he got with 4 minutes to go after Lucas had put Paris 1-0 up with the 17th in Europe for Paris. That means he is now the record goal-scorer in Europe for Paris, along with being the record Ligue 1 scorer and record overall goal-scorer at the club. And, of course, when he got his very first European goal for Paris, that meant he was the first player to score for six different teams in the UEFA Champions League. And Paris finished second behind Real Madrid, but they are the non-seeded team that no one will want in Monday's draw.
Very true indeed. They finished second because Real Madrid beat them to first, and they beat Malmo by 8-0 in their final group game. 3 goals for Benzema, 1 for Kovacic, but more importantly, 4 for Ronaldo, who got 11 group stage goals, beating his own previous record, and he was delighted to get it, but is keen to stress that the team's more important.
To beat this record, it was a very important moment for me. But I think the main point, it's the team. I think the team play unbelievable. We score 8 goals. We are so compact, so intense. So the most important for me, it's the consistency of the team in the game.
I suppose we shouldn't be surprised, but it always impresses me, Paul, Ronaldo's hunger for goals. What was so impressive about his performance yesterday?
Well, it wasn't. Of course, the goals came all the start of the second. We got a goal quite late in the first half. They came very quickly in quick succession. You just kept wanting more. And he's never scored 4 in the UEFA Champions League game, or as he hadn't before. Along with Benzema's hat-trick, it's the first time more than one player's got a hat-trick in the UEFA Champions League game. And the 8-0 record just happens to equal the record set in the UEFA Champions League by Rafael Benitez's Liverpool away to Besiktas. So Real Madrid keep on pushing. They'll want to get that 11th. They waited so long for the 10th title. They hope to not wait quite so long for that 11th European Cup title. And they're looking very strong, having finished that group 3 points ahead of Paris.
So here's how the group finished. Real Madrid on 16 points. Paris Saint-Germain with 13, as already has been mentioned. They're the team to avoid from the second-place teams in the UEFA Champions League draw. Shakhtar with 3 points going to the UEFA Europa League. Malmo finished bottom, also on 3 points, but missing out on head-to-head. So while Manchester United went out to the competition, Manchester City progressed, and not only that, they won Group D with a 4-2 victory over Borussia Mönchengladbach, largely thanks to 3 goals in the final 10 minutes, 2 from Raheem Sterling, 1 from Wilfried Bonny. Let's hear from a very happy Manuel Pellegrini.
Well, I think that the hard way we did it already. We did it 2 games before we finished the group. I always say that the most important thing and the target was to qualify for the next stage. It's not easy. You must ask another English team that is not so easy to do it. After that, it was important to finish at the top spot of the group, and we did it playing a very good game.
Manuel Pellegrini there, and I'm sure City, after that opening day defeat to Juve in the competition, they didn't think they'd finish above them, surely, Paul, in this group.
Well, after 2 defeats, in fact, against Juventus, it's not often you lose twice to a team, finish a point above them. That's what they're doing, because they didn't drop a point against Sevilla or Borussia Mönchengladbach in this toughest of groups. And that last 10 minutes, it was Raheem Sterling's 21st birthday on Tuesday, and getting 2 goals in very, very quick succession to almost instantly take it from 1-2-1 to Mönchengladbach to 3-2 to Manchester City. It was a blow to Mönchengladbach as well, because it knocked them out of UEFA Europa League contention. And great stuff from Raheem Sterling, the young prospect for English football, and giving Manchester City that group win, which meaning unlike last year, they won't be playing Barcelona in a round of 16.
And there was a great story in Seville as well, because Fernando Llorente scored the 1-0 winner for Sevilla against Juventus, against his former club, denying them top spot and putting his team into the UEFA Europa League. How did that all work out with the maths of that?
Well, exactly. Well, going into the group that day, Juventus were 2 points ahead of Manchester City. Mönchengladbach were 2 points ahead of Sevilla. As it finishes off, it's City 12 points, Juventus 11 points, Sevilla 6 points, Mönchengladbach 5 points. So Sevilla back in the UEFA Europa League, which of course they've won for the last 2 seasons, going for an unprecedented hat-trick.
And the newspaper asked, the Spanish newspaper said that Sevilla now will go for number 5. Many of the players saying that the UEFA Europa League is their competition. So here's how the standings finish. City on 12 points, Juve 11, Sevilla 6, Gladbach bottom on 5, and harsh on them for an impressive second half of the group stage campaign. Okay, don't forget, the UEFA.com users team of the year for 2015 is live. The nominees have been announced, and now it's up to you. Go to UEFA.com to find out more and cast your vote. You get to pick your team of the year. Next on Matchday Live, analysis and reaction from Wednesday's matches.
Decimos no al racismo.
No to racism.
Nee tegen racisme.
Non au racisme.
No al racismo.
No to racism.
Lionel Messi, Gareth Bale, Robin van Persie, Franck Ribéry, Edinson Cavani and Kevin Prince-Boateng are just a few of the UEFA Champions League stars saying no to racism. European football united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
You're listening to Match Day Live with Paul Saffer and me, Rob Daly. Our review of Wednesday's Match Day 6 action begins at Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea met Porto with plenty at stake. John Bradley was the commentator.
Diego Costa's in on goal. Big moment for Chelsea. Big save by the goalkeeper. The ricochet, and it's an astonishing clearance, is it? No, the goal has been given, and Chelsea are in front. It was Diego Costa who was clean through. Superb save, but as it came back from the goalkeeper, it hit the defender and it goes into the back of the net despite the despairing attempt of Maicon to clear it off the line. Chelsea have first blood, Chelsea 1, Porto 0. Well, here is Hazard, Williams found space, Williams in! That could be the goal for Chelsea that wins Group G. Willian has been their player of the season so far. Beyond Iker Casillas, that thunders into the back of the net. It's Chelsea 2, Porto 0.
John Bradley, our commentator for the game, and he joins us now. John, did Chelsea deserve that 2-0 victory?
They did. It was a little edgy at the start, given that they came off the back of a disappointing home defeat in the English Premier League at the weekend. But once they got the goal, somewhat fortuitously, they never really looked back, and Porto just didn't create enough problems for them. Even though they had more shots on the night, a lot of them from distance, and never really troubled Thibaut Courtois, Chelsea always looked a threat going forward. And in Eden Hazard and Willian, they had two players right at the top of the game tonight.
Well, Chelsea captain John Terry was asked, how important was that victory?
I think very important. I think with our league form being as it is at the moment, I think the fans needed that. The players needed it, certainly. And we give a real big performance tonight in a very big game, a big occasion, and needed to win to top the group, which we've done. So we're delighted with that, but all round was excellent from everyone. I think in the league, I think we've been lacking a little bit of confidence, but I think Champions League, we've been scoring goals, winning games, as you see tonight, very fluent and looking very dangerous. So hopefully we can translate that into the league form. We go to Leicester now Monday, which is tough. Who are playing well, but if we can play like that, then we've got a great chance of pushing up the league.
I'm sure it'll be something that puzzles Chelsea fans, John. John Terry just said there, we have a bit more confidence in Europe compared to domestically, and I'm sure that will part frustrate but part please Chelsea fans in a weird way.
Well, 3 wins from 3 at home in the UEFA Champions League, 4 defeats in 8 home games in the Premier League, and it just doesn't really make much sense, does it, at all? And Jose Mourinho has said after the game as well, to add to what John Terry said, after a defeat at home in the league, a second one would have been an attack on our pride. We were compact and tried to win the match, even though we knew a draw was okay. It was an important result for the players in the club, and it really was, but we have to feel a little sorry for Porto. To go out with 10 points is very harsh, and they've really contributed to what's been a really good grouping in Group G. And Maicon, their captain, said it was a really difficult game. Unfortunately, we weren't able to accomplish our goal. Now we have to look forward. We did start the match with the intention of winning, but we couldn't get the result we needed. We'll give everything now to win the Europa League. The defeat won't affect us. We won't let it. It's already part of the past.
I mean, we were surprised, Paul Saffer, when the team sheet came out and it said that Vincent Aboubakar, their main striker, was on the bench and Yassine Brahimi was going to play up front. Ultimately, did that partly play in their downfall at Stamford Bridge?
I think you can just give Chelsea a lot of credit. I don't know if a different formation would have stopped the way Chelsea played, which was to choke off the supply to the front three by always looking to attack as quickly as possible, always looking to get the ball to Diego Costa as quickly as possible, which was something we saw a lot in Jose Mourinho's first spell when he used to have Didier Drogba up front. That's how they used to use him a lot. And the other thing was the energy of the midfielders. John already mentioned a couple of them. I also mentioned Oscar as well, who was a handful all the time, plus also Azpilicueta on as a fullback, pushing forward as well and denying space, and Ramirez as well. Every one of them really performed well, and they just ran so hard. They just did not allow Porto any time on the ball. And Porto dominated possession, especially in the first half. They completed about twice as many passes as Chelsea in the match, but it didn't do them any good, and Chelsea waited to look much more dangerous when they were attacking.
I think Chelsea let them have the ball in the middle third of the field, and once they got towards the Chelsea penalty area, they just put a big solid lineup and said there was no way past Matic. Ramirez, both excellent. Matic will have taken great pleasure in this, being a former Benfica player as well. And the line that sums it up on the night that Iker Casillas, of course, became the playing the most UEFA Champions League game on 158, the first time he's ever been knocked out in the group stage of the competition as well. And he simply said that we are out of the competition that everyone wants to play.
Absolutely right. John, thank you very much. We'll get more reaction from you shortly. Elsewhere in the group that Chelsea are in, Dynamo Kiev beat Maccabi Tel Aviv by 1-0. So Dynamo Kiev, after beating Chelsea in their previous game, and thanks to a goal from Khamash in that one after Yarmolenko went off injured, that's a big result for Dynamo Kiev that sees them through in second spot. So the group finishes like this. Chelsea 13 points, Dynamo Kiev 11, Porto 10. Going out on 10 points. We're going to see very shortly Roma going through with, what, 6 in the end. And Maccabi Tel Aviv finishing bottom, didn't get off the mark in Group G. OK, our second feature game is the shootout in Greece. What a great game this promised to be between Olympiacos and Arsenal in Group F. It was watched by Jonathan Beck.
Özil, lovely reverse ball, space on the left-hand side, and Giroud with the header, it's crept in! Olivier Giroud strikes for Arsenal, they have one of their crucial away goals. Joel Campbell is inside the box, twisting and turning, looking to find Giroud! Oh my word, that's a wonderful goal! A minute ago, he looked like he was injured and off. Now, he's got Arsenal second. Two for the Arsenal, two for Olivier Giroud. Stays this way, Arsenal will be going through. Penalty to Arsenal. Olivier Giroud, who's just been stared down by Roberto. It's Olivier Giroud! It's 3-0 Arsenal. He sends the goalkeeper the wrong way, and Olivier Giroud has a hat-trick.
Jonathan Beck there, we'll hear from him in a moment, but first it's got to be the hat-trick hero, Olivier Giroud.
It's a great feeling, you know. It was not easy for us in this group, you know. We're struggling for the first games. We were not in a good position, and we have shown tonight a good mental strength, you know, all together as a unit. I told before the game that we will need to be all together 100%. Otherwise, we're not going through. So finally, you know, we've done it, and we were efficient at the back and even at front. You know, and we feel relieved tonight because we are qualified for the next stage.
Olivier Giroud there, from one great haircut to another. Let's go to Jonathan Beck, our commentator for this game. Jonathan, what a result for Arsenal. I don't think many people were expecting them to pull that one out the back.
No, not in such style, certainly. I think plenty felt it would be a little more nervy than that. But once they'd scored that opener on 29 minutes, they'd already hit the bar just a few minutes beforehand. They really started to boss the game tactically. Arsene Wenger got it spot on. He's called it their greatest escape. Very proud of the team, of course, and why not? A perfect game on both the mental and tactical side, particularly how they handled things at 2-0 when they pushed on for the third rather than risk settling for the 2-0. And an Olympiacos goal would have scuppered that. The complete team performance, he said, a lot of character was needed to come back from where we found ourselves in the group. Very proud of the consistency. And get this, I believe now we've escaped. Perhaps it's our lucky year in the UEFA Champions League.
given the amount of injuries that they did have, I mean, it seemed like a very fearless performance from Arsenal in what is a difficult place to play.
It did, and the way they controlled the game, even when they were under the cosh in the early stages, they still seemed to know exactly what they wanted to do and to be able to execute it. And players like Joel Campbell, who don't have that much experience in the Arsenal first team, either at, you know, English Premier League level or UEFA Champions League, his assist for the second goal in particular was great. Arsene Wenger brought him off with about a minute to go to a standing ovation from much of the ground, and that said a lot about his mature performance. As for Olympiacos, well, you have to feel that all the pre-match hype about them playing for the win, well, they did in the first 25 minutes, but thereafter, Arsenal were the ones in control, and they, Olympiacos, were playing catch-up.
For much of this season, Jonathan, the talk has been about who is going to be Arsenal's striker, and given he scored 8 goals in 15 league games, 9 of those starts, he's got his big goals in the UEFA Champions League tonight as Olivier Giroud established himself once again as Arsenal's main man up top.
You'd have to think so, because Theo Walcott still doesn't have enough minutes under his belt to start there at the moment, I don't think. He played a good 75 tonight, and that will help him, certainly. But his quest to sort of lead the line, I think we'll have to wait, because if Giroud does shake off the ankle problem, and he got that between the two goals, which looked initially like taking him off the field, then I think you're right. His hat-trick tonight, in the manner he did it, and the character he showed, as Arsene Wenger said as well in his interview, I think that has to establish him, doesn't it? Despite knockers on both sides.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. We'll come back to you shortly. Olympiacos 0, Arsenal 3. They did it. Elsewhere in that group, in a game that didn't change the standings at all, Dinamo Zagreb were beaten by Bayern at home by 2-0. Second half goals from Robert Lewandowski. Thomas Müller hit the post with a late penalty, but it is a 100th win for Pep Guardiola as Bayern coach. He's not even been there 3 seasons. Truly amazing from the Bayern head coach. And they win the group quite comfortably in the end with 15 points. Arsenal on 9, Olympiacos on 9. But the Greek side going to the UEFA Europa League because of their superior head-to-head record. Paul Saffer's still with me. Paul, Roma qualify for the round of 16 in the UEFA Champions League, despite only getting a 0-0 draw at Barté. So how did things pan out in Group E?
Well, as it standed out, they knew that as long as Leverkusen didn't win, they only needed a draw. Leverkusen were, of course, playing against Barcelona. Leverkusen trailed briefly to Lionel Messi goal, but Leverkusen then got an equaliser through Javi Hernandez and really dominated that game. They couldn't win, it finished 1-1. Roma finished 0-0 against Barté, but that takes Roma through. In fact, if Barté had got a goal, that Barté would have gone through incredibly, because nobody would have seen that coming in this particular group. But as it worked out, Barcelona 14 points, winning the group fairly comfortably. Roma 6 points, that equals the record set a couple of years ago by Zenit for the fewest number of points going through. And as you mentioned earlier, that's 4 fewer points than Porto have got. Porto will be in the UEFA Europa League. Roma will still be in the UEFA Champions League.
So Roma with that 0-0 draw against Barté. John Bradley, but Roma just seemed to lack a little bit of cutting edge in attack when they did have their chances.
Well, Radja Nainggolan, the Belgian international, says we attacked for most of the game, but we weren't sharp enough. We tried to win, but in the end, the draw is fine. We've qualified, and now we must only focus on the next game. We're working well. We gave everything we had. We just focus now on the qualification, because this was a very difficult group.
And Barcelona will be pleased, John, because they played the game without Suarez and Neymar in starting the game.
Luis Enrique says, I felt positive about our performance. I wanted to give the players who have played the most minutes a rest. I saw good signs from us against a team that really had to win. The game was a litmus test for us. In the last 16, we'll face whoever we're lucky enough to be drawn with.
Thank you very much, John. Start getting thinking about your man of the match and the Chelsea game, by the way, as well. Finally, Paul, let's look at how things panned out in Group H, because Ghent have made history by qualifying for the round of 16 in the UEFA Champions League. They beat Zenit by 2-1, a great result for them.
Especially as Zenit were going into the game looking to finish off 100% record in the group. They had 5 wins out of 5, but in the end it was Ghent's day, and deservedly so. They led through De Poitro, who's been playing very, very well this season. Djibril managed to equalise with 25 minutes to go, his 6th goal of the competition this season. But then Milsevic, another player who's played very well for Ghent, both in reaching the competition through winning the Belgian League last year, another surprise, and in this group stage as well. And that gave him the win, which meant that regardless of what happened in the other game between Valencia and Lyon, it took Ghent through. Their debutants, first debutants to go through or even not finish bottom of the group for 4 years since Malaga. And also the first time a Belgian team has gone through since 2000-2001, which was Anderlecht. And of course, that was in the days of the second group stage. It's the first time ever a Belgian team has actually gone into the post-group knockout stages of the UEFA Champions League.
Glad we've got you here, Paul, to explain all this. And of course, that means that Valencia don't go through to the next round. They were beaten at home 2-0 by Lyon, so it didn't really matter what happened in Belgium. Regardless, Valencia were going out of the UEFA Champions League. 2-0 for Lyon. Jonathan Beck, it was Gary Neville's first proper game in charge.
Yeah, not the outcome he was hoping for. They were better than us and no excuses. That was his opening gambit at the post-match interview. We can't be happy how we played. We can't blame anyone but ourselves. We've got a fight in front of us now, an objective. We do have games left before Christmas, and I hope we can get some injured players back. But today, we simply weren't good enough. He said it looked like we had lead in our legs, as if we'd actually played another game today prior to this one. The better side in the first half, but in the second, we conceded a lot of counter-attacks and the second goal. Leon have good attacking players, but we should have done much better. That was echoed by Shkodran Mustafi, who said it was one of those games we have possession, but they end up scoring. They did a good job because they scored two goals with two shots. Maxime Gonalon, on the other hand, obviously very happy with the Leon midfielder. Good to win because this competition's been hard on us this season, but we showed what we can do tonight.
Jonathan, thank you very much. While we have you, Jonathan, let's get your man of the match from the Olympiacos-Arsenal game. I'm guessing it's a stupid question.
Well, it's a fairly simple one. They were very resolute and very good at the back. Joel Campbell was good, but it has to be Olivier Giroud.
You did tease us there for a minute, Jonathan. Congratulations to Arsenal then for qualifying for the next round. Chelsea 2-0 winners against Porto in the UEFA Champions League. John Bradley, who was their outstanding performer at Stamford Bridge?
I would say Nemanja Matic. I thought he was absolutely wonderful, playing in a face mask as well, but there was nothing hidden about his performance tonight.
Absolutely not. So Chelsea and Arsenal from London are into the next round of the competition. That's all we have time for on Match Day Live after two more dramatic nights in the UEFA Champions League. 30 goals on Tuesday as Wolfsburg and PSV qualify for the knockout stages at the expense of Manchester United. Manchester City and Atletico both clinch top spots in their sections, and Cristiano Ronaldo sets a new group stage record, 11 goals, as Real Madrid put 8 past Malmo. Then on Wednesday, Olivier Giroud's brilliant hat-trick means that Arsenal make it through to the knockout stages of the competition for the 16th season in a row. Chelsea, Roma, Ghent and Dynamo Kiev also find themselves in the draw in the round of 16, which gets underway on the 16th and 17th of February. We'll be back for a special one-off show in early January, when we'll be looking back at the group stage, as well as previewing in-depth what's sure to be a mouth-watering set of round of 16 ties. But for now, from Paul Taffer, John Bradley, Jonathan Becker, myself, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live Tay team, we wish you a fantastic festive period. Join us in the new year. Carrasco can collect it. He looks for the low ball in. It's a second goal for Atletico Madrid. And it's Atleti who are going to win Group C. For now, though, it's there. They've re-established their lead again. Incredible. Now, though, with another one. He'd never scored in the UEFA Champions League this season until tonight. Willian found space. Willian's in. That could be the goal for Chelsea.
It's Olivier Giroud, it's 3-0 Arsenal. He sends the goalkeeper the wrong way, and Olivier Giroud has a hat-trick. It's a huge night for Arsenal.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.